Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Matthew. Please stay with us, and we will be right back. Teens, open up to God's holiness. The acronym is TUF, and it's a youth retreat set for July 21st through 23rd at the Pax Christi Liturgical Retreat Center in Cal Allen, and it's for high school boys and girls in grades 9 through 12 in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. TUF retreaters experience an encounter with the risen Lord in His Word, in the Holy Eucharist, and in each other. Items not allowed on the retreat include cell phones, watches, media devices, iPods, alarm clocks, homework, short shorts, drugs, alcohol, or tobacco. To register, visit diocesecc.org/youth. For more information, call 882-6191. It's time for teens to get tough.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm very well, thank you. And even though it's a little early, happy 4th to everyone listening out there. I hope it's a beautiful celebration of our country's independence,
It's a long holiday weekend for people.
Yes.
People are very joyous. Well, as I mentioned in the beginning, our gospel this morning is from St. Matthew, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to His word.
The gospel of today is again from St. Matthew's gospel, chapter 10, verses 37 to 42. Jesus said to His apostles, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink, because the little one is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this was a very interesting gospel because it talked about a lot of the requirements of discipleship, which in some ways may seem a little harsh to some people.
Yes, one might think that, but I think as I was just reading it now again, when you kind of follow it through, it has a beginning and an end, and it's all connected. I think sometimes we read the gospel and dissect it or separate the different elements in it and extract things that we like, but maybe extract things we don't like and just ignore them. But I think there's a logic, and of course Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, so there's a logic even in what he says. So I think it begins with the very first announcement that he makes to his apostles, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." So if we just start there, people struggle with this, because I love my mother, I love my father, I love my child, I love my son, I love my... Sure, absolutely. But there's a pre-step, and it's a precept, and it's a preface, you might say, to all of that, because what kind of love? You know, what Jesus came to bring us is the love of God. Mm-hmm. What he commanded us was to live the love of God. And the love of God is a love that is unconditional. It's not selfish. It's sacrificial. That's why the greatest love is to give one's life for one's friend. So Jesus is taking the ability of human love, the natural affections, even within a family that a person may have, and really, you might say, puts them on another level, which is the love of God. Mm-hmm. That's the first love, which is a transcendent love, which is a love beyond me. I have certain abilities to relate to people just from natural inclinations or natural personality. You know, we can be a good guy. But what Jesus is calling us to and his apostles to is the transcendent love. In other words, to love someone for God. And that's a whole another realm. We all love to say the prayer of St. Francis, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow your love. So I think in many ways, of course, the great saints, someone like St. Francis would have understood this. God is first. And when God is first, everything else is in order. Mm-hmm. And that's what we don't get too often. We either have an underdeveloped love for God or a superficial love for God. It's a Sunday love for God. But is he really your first love? I mean, I think this is the question that every Christian, every person, every human being needs. Is God the first love? Because when that's there, that love calls us to a transcendence of myself. What does that mean? It means that I don't love for my good, for myself, or for my pleasure. I love because I love love. Mm-hmm. And there's a certain mysticism of human life, just as a human being, that we need to learn better and not to be afraid of talking that kind of language. Everything's not practical. Everything's not rational. Everything should be able to be understood rationally, but there's a level of life that is beyond who we are as human beings, but we can participate in. That's what the life of grace is. We're called to participate in something that's greater than ourselves. So this is an invitation to put God first, mm-hmm. and it's a constant effort to do that, to renew that. But when God is first in your life, certainly you will love your father, but in a new way. Certainly you will love your mother, and especially in her old age and certainly in her struggles with health mm-hmm. as time goes on. Because if it's just a human love, then mother can get in the way of my activities.
Right.
When it's a love for God, you're never tired of loving your mother, even to the end, even though it costs you certain time and efforts and struggles and et cetera, et cetera. So this is what Jesus is calling his own disciples to, but then that becomes really the core of the gospel, this love that God has instilled and put into our hearts. And from that then you can see, and whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. So Jesus, in order to live that love that the Father is in him and has called him to, that transcendent love, he brings that to us. And he also, in order to love, experienced the cross. And the greatest cross, of course, is his own self-sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. So calling us to put God first in your life, to live that love in love of your neighbor, your mother, your father, your son, there's going to be a cross. It's going to take time. You know, a child, any parent would know this. When you want to go left, they want to go right. Mm-hmm. And you have to give up something. Mm-hmm. A husband and a wife, you know, sometimes a wife wants to live in a certain way, and the husband, you know, is more open and wants to travel. Let's just say the wife likes to stay home and piddle in the yard, and the husband likes to travel the world. Well, somebody's got to sacrifice. How do you come mm-hmm. to that? But if you don't have that ultimate love of God, that sacrificial love of Jesus, take up your cross, how will you be able to love one another? Mm-hmm. So this is really an instruction on love. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Again, that follows because what he's saying there, whoever thinks they can possess life according to their own terms, because you see the terms beforehand, you have to put God first, you have to take up the cross. So if you think you're going to create your life on your own terms, you're going to lose. Whoever loses their life through full love of God, translating that into love and service, which is basically love is service to others, through the crosses, losing yourself in that process of loving, you're going to find. What are you going to find? You're going to find true happiness. You're going to find joy. You're going to find peace. Now, others will tell you that that's not true. Well, again, try it.
Right.
Try it. Why do you feel really joyful inside when you give up a Saturday and go visit, you know, a nursing home? Mm-hmm. Sure, it costs you time, but if you do it in the right with the right mind, that this is for the love of God and these people, why do you leave joyfully, you know? Mm-hmm. It's the dynamic of divine love that's alive and aflame inside of us.
And I think for me, Bishop, sometimes it's, I find that to do this, we have to say, I am not in control. I give it up to God because we can't control everything.
Right.
And
right.
We shouldn't control everything.
Right. Yeah, you know, there's some people that live in a box and they don't know anything outside of the box. Mm-hmm. There's other people that don't know what a box is.
Right.
You know, and especially when those two forces kind of come together, mm-hmm. if we don't have this super love, which is beyond the box and yet is in the box. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I use that term, but anyway, it just kind of...
Well, we talk about thinking out of the box.
Yeah,
all the
we
time.
Think about it, and some people don't even know what a box is.
Right.
So, you know, when you're working with someone like that, let's put that, you know, some people love complete order.
True.
And you need that. I mean, I'm not demeaning that at all. You need order in your life and in your office, et cetera. But then you have a person across the hall who doesn't know what the box is, but is very productive. So where do you come together? And that's the art of relationships. And the art of relationships is God first, mm-hmm. then I love my neighbor in or out of the box. It's going to be a cross to pay in doing that because I'm going to have to, and I have to redefine myself, not because I define myself in the box, but I got to move a little bit beyond the box. Or I'm outside the box and I maybe have to move inside the box. Mm-hmm. So it's a give and take. And then we find ourselves. Then we have the joy and the peace of who we really are. Mm-hmm. But qualifying life always just from my terms, on my terms, I'm going to lose.
Right.
And not really know the true reward that awaits us now and in the future of eternal life.
Thank you, Bishop.
I hope that made sense.
It does make sense. Well, it's God first.
Right.
God first. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will have the Word of Life for July. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The Catholic Church offers classes to help couples enter their new relationship with eyes wide open. But sometimes marriages turn sideways, and for those couples, there are marriage encounter weekends designed to help right the ship. But for marriages in serious trouble, there's Retrovi, a lifeline to couples whose marriage may be drowning and headed for separation or divorce. Husbands and wives can rediscover why they fell in love in the first place. Since 1977, tens of thousands of couples have successfully overcome their problems and kept from becoming another broken home statistic. The next Retrovi weekend begins Friday, September 22nd, here in Corpus Christi. To learn more or register right now, visit helpourmarriage.com or call 1-800-470-2230.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, today being the first Sunday in July, we have our Word of Life for July that is a wonderful one. It's, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest."
Right. So let's jump into it. It's from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 28. "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Weary and carrying heavy burdens, these words suggest images of people, men and women, young adults, children, and the elderly, who are weighed down in all sorts of ways as they journey through life, hoping the day will come when they can be freed from all this. In this passage of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus invites us, "Come to me." He was surrounded by a crowd that had come to see and hear him. Many of them were simple people, poor, with little education, unable to know and to follow all the complex religious obligations of their time. What is more, they were saddled with the taxes and bureaucracy of Roman rule, a weight that was often impossible to bear. They were constantly worrying and were looking out for the offer of a better life. In this teaching, Jesus gave special attention to them and to all those excluded by society because they were seen as sinners. He wanted everyone to understand and welcome the important law, the law that opens the door to the Father's house, the law of love. God indeed reveals his wonders to those with open and simple hearts. But Jesus invites us too, today, to come closer to him. He showed himself as the visible presence of God who is love, a God who loves us immensely just as we are, with our talents and shortcomings, our aspirations and failures. He invites us to trust in his law, which is not a burden that crushes us, but a yoke that is easy. It fills the hearts of those who live this law with joy. It demands our commitment not to turn in on ourselves, but rather to make our lives an ever fuller gift to others day by day. "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Jesus also makes a promise, "I will give you rest." In what way? He gives us rest, first of all, through his presence, which becomes more decisive and deeper in us if we choose him as the cornerstone of our life. Next, he does so through a special inner light that shines upon our daily footsteps and makes us deliver life's meaning, even when things around us are tough. And then, if we start loving as Jesus himself did, in love, we find both the strength to carry on and the fullness of freedom, because the life of God grows within us. In her commentary of the Word of Life from May of 1999, Kara Lubick wrote, "A Christian who is not always striving to love does not deserve the name Christian. The reason is that all Jesus' commandments are summed up in one, to love God and love our neighbor, in whom we see and love Jesus." Love is not mere feeling, but it translates into real life, into service of our brothers and sisters, especially those who are close to us, starting from the little things, from the humblest of services. Charles de Foucauld said, "When you love someone, you are in that person in a real way. You are in that person through love. You live in that person through love. You do not live in yourself. You are detached from yourself, outside of yourself." And it is because of this love that Jesus' light gains ground in us, just as he promised To those who love me, I will reveal myself. From the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Love is a source of light, and by loving, we have a greater understanding of who God is. So let's accept Jesus' invitation to go to him, knowing that he is the source of our hope and our peace. Let's accept his commandment and strive to love just as he did in the endless opportunities to do this throughout the day, in our families, in the parish, at work, responding to offenses with forgiveness, building bridges rather than walls, and putting ourselves at the service of anyone weighed down by difficulties. Far from being a burden, we will discover that this law gives us wings to soar on high.
What a wonderful word of life. So many thoughts here that we can reflect on. One of them, and this was toward the end, but it started out in the beginning, it's let's accept Jesus' invitation to go to him. That word invitation to go to him, it's just powerful.
Well, it involves free will, too. I mean, you don't have to go.
Right, exactly.
You don't have to. And that certainly is always an invitation, but it should be an attraction, too, mm-hmm. that once we are called into this understanding of ourselves in God, as we spoke in the first part of the segment, God first, love first, and a love that's not a self-love in the sense that it turns in on me, but a love that is service toward others. It's a love of God, which is taking me out of myself, stepping beyond myself. And this is the dynamic of life and the dynamic of the Christian life. It's interesting, like you said at the beginning, that wearied and heavy burden. I mean, those things, we all have them. And ours are always the heaviest, you know. Mine's always the heaviest until you talk to someone else in a similar state of life or a similar position, and you start listening to them, and you go, thank you, God, for the burdens I have, you know.
Exactly.
It's always, you know, there. And this is the beauty of life together. You'd be mm-hmm. able to share the worries and the burdens that you have, and you realize yours are in perspective. It's not as bad as mm-hmm. as we think. But even that, being able to share that with another person, is rest in a sense that we are taken beyond ourselves. You know, I think what struck me too as we were reading this, when you look at Jesus in the part where it says Jesus gave special attention to those that were excluded by society because they saw them as sinners. This still goes on today. I mean, how many don't meet a social standard or don't meet my standards, and they are excluded? I think as teenagers, we were notorious for this. So if any teenagers are listening, be attentive to this, because as we're growing and understanding life, and trying to understand the true meaning of relationships and a relationship that is really love, mm-hmm. We, at the beginning, we might have a tendency, because we misunderstand the beauty of love in its full dimension, that we tend to exclude people, that they don't dress the way I do, they don't belong to the same clubs I do, they don't have the social standing that I do, they don't speak the same language. You know, a human approach to life without the transcendent love of God will exclude. Mm-hmm. And once we see, and this is where we have to be self-aware, we need to know ourselves. If we are excluding people, if we find life as operating at the cost of excluding, then we're probably not in love with God. We're not living the love of God. So Jesus came to bring that that new understanding of what love is, and it invites us first and foremost to come to him, because he excluded no one. He reached out to the tax collectors, excluded by the society. He reached out to the lepers, outcast from society. He reached out to the sinners that were wanting to repent, thrown out. You know, all these people that were, quote, marginalized, by the society of the day, he went up to, telling them not to do it again. Obviously, he didn't right. deny the sin, as we should not either. We don't just accept the sin, but we love the person. And because we love them and God loves them, then we don't exclude, but we come to encounter
and hope
them.
By, with our love and our attention, that they, as you say, that the sin will go away. They will change their habits.
Sure. The sin is always forgiven, but it also needs the conversion of heart, because then they need to go and love others too. Mm-hmm. I think, I know we're running out of time here, but I just wanted to bring out this point, which struck me again as we were going through this, is that love is not just a single act that can be applied here and applied there, maybe today, maybe 2 weeks from today. But love has to become a way of life, because it's an organic reality in our life. The more we love, the more we want to love. The more we love God, the more we want to love God. So it's a dynamic living dimension of life that Jesus came to bring us, that we could have life and have it to the full. None of us are there yet, but if we only see love as just a kind act on a certain day and then maybe repeated 3 weeks later, and we don't understand that love is a state of being, because right. God is a state, is a being. Mm-hmm. He's not off and on, you know, here again, there again, but it's a constant. So for us, in our free will, in our desire to serve, the more that we serve, the more love grows. And when people say, God doesn't love me, or I, you know, it's because you don't love. The more you love, the more you taste the love of God, the more you want. And you realize it's a living reality, because God is a living being who wants to live in us and love more in us and through us.
Thank you. It was a beautiful word of life. So, Bishop, if you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
O God of strength, graciously hear our prayers today, because without you, we can do nothing. Grant your help to us always. Give us your grace that we may follow your command to love. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week and a happy 4th of July.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.